Welcome to Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. I'm your host, Lisa Huff. Over the last 5 years, I've coached hundreds of hairstylists and beauty industry professionals, helping them work their dream schedules exclusively with their dream clientele and earn their dream income, all while fostering genuine connections and lifelong friendships inside the beauty industry. In this podcast, we dive deep into abundance, manifestation, business building strategies, and creating a life that you are truly proud of, both behind the chair and at home. Are you ready to embark on a journey of personal growth, success, and sisterhood? Then hit that subscribe button now and get ready to experience the pure magic of Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. I am joined today with a pretty long-time Soul Tribe member, Carissa Warren. Hello, Carissa. Welcome to the podcast. We've been trying to record this for a little while, but I believe that everything happens when it's supposed to. So it is so exciting to sit down and chat with you today. How are you feeling, friend?
I am feeling good. A little nervous to be on a podcast, but yeah, we're good.
Fair. I still get nervous recording podcast episodes, and I have done, I think, counting like what's batched and pre-recorded. So completely understand. So why don't we start with you introducing yourself a little bit, go back to whatever feels appropriate to tell your story, who you are, where you're from. I'm sure we'll kind of find the timeline where Soul Tribe interjected in your life. And then obviously I know everything past then, but I say it all the time, you know it. I'm so impressed by what you've done in your business that I just want to share it with more people to hopefully inspire some people of what can be done if you're really intentional. So take it away.
Well, thank you. Yes, I am Carissa Warren and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. And I've been a hairstylist for over 23 years now. Yeah. So I graduated beauty school in 2000 and I worked at a salon in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for about 6 years. And then I moved to Madison. I loved the salon I was at in Milwaukee, but I just wasn't making enough money. So I moved to Madison and started working at a salon there.
How far apart are those? Not that that matters to the listeners, but you know, I have family out there and yeah. I feel like Milwaukee is quite a distance, is it?
No, it's like an hour and a half.
Okay. So you didn't necessarily move where you were living. You just switched where you were working or both? Well,
yeah. I mean, I grew up in Madison, but I went to college. I should say that too. I went to college at UW-Milwaukee.
Okay.
Before going to school, because I wanted that collegiate experience. I wanted to make some bad choices and you know, like just have that dorm life and whatnot. And I'm so glad I did. So I went to college for 2 years for occupational therapy.
Cool.
And then knew that I, you know, shouldn't continue to pay for this if I'm not going to classes. So
yeah, that's an expensive experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I moved back to Madison, went to beauty school for a year, and then moved back to Milwaukee and worked at a salon there for 6 years.
Okay.
And then it was an amazing salon. The owner was spectacular, really good, taught me a lot about customer service and whatnot. But he, not to, you know, make him sound bad, but he was good money.
Yeah.
So like we had to kind of rush to his bank every paycheck to get paid.
Yeah. And that's the truth with a lot of owners. So no shame on that. Yeah. Yeah. And then you said you were there for 6 years and continue that kind of transition.
Yeah. And then I wanted to move back to Madison. I had all four grandparents still at that time. And I wanted to be there while they were still living and just kind of like start my business here, try to work in a bigger salon versus a smaller salon so I could just kind of get all aspects of the industry. Yeah. Unfortunately, that salon was very, very toxic. So they did not encourage you to grow and to build your own thing, you know, a huge non-compete, a 5 mile radius. I ended up leaving there, thankfully, because it was just, oof, it was bad. And then I opened up my own space in 2010.
Amazing.
So I've been in the same building since then. I have a salon name. My salon name is Chloe. So my business name is Chloe's Hair Studio.
Which I think is so interesting. Your name's Carissa. Your business is Chloe. I know I've asked you that before, but like, how did that come about?
So they were like, there was a Krista and a Crystal. So they're like, for booking purposes,
I remember.
Switch your name. And so I was like, well, I was that like the name Chloe. So it's just that a whirl. And so then because I had an non-compete and a 5 mile radius in my old salon, I kept the name professionally so that I was searchable so that people could find me.
Love it. Love it.
So I've just kept with it.
Yeah. And so what year was that you moved into your current space?
2010.
Okay. And then we just did a master class yesterday inside of Soul Tribe, and Carissa was sharing with Stylus Soul Tribe some of the numbers she tracks, things like that. We're just kind of highlighting Carissa right now, and it's really cool. And you were starting to count back from like 2017 on, because obviously 20, I think you said 23 years behind the chair. That's quite a bit of time. But what I've really watched you do, what year did you join Soul Tribe? Do you know?
I think it was 21, maybe.
Okay. Okay, so post-pandemic, but it's been quite a few years now. I feel like I've known you forever. So you started sharing numbers like 2017 on, and now we're, just wrapped up 2023. So that's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 6 years of data. And what I thought was really cool, to respect Carissa, and I don't blame her one bit. I also don't share like detailed numbers within my business. It's just doesn't feel right to me. Without sharing exact numbers, even though I do know those, Carissa, to put it in terms that feel comfortable for both of us, went from, correct me if I'm wrong, 2017, she was working up to 6 days a week behind the chair. You said you were also doing some commercial work. You were like grinding, hustling really, really hard. She wasn't quite at six figures yet at that point. Within the last 6 years that she has been really intentional and really been focusing on her business, you're now behind the chair 3 days a week. And we just did the math, have nearly doubled your gross take-home pay. Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah, I mean, when I was kind of grinding and I was doing freelance hair and makeup for photo shoots, as well as working behind the chair, I was working a ton and I liked it and I was single and like I didn't have anyone to really spend the time with, really, to be honest. Might as well make the money. But I was working a freaking lot of hours. And so my goal was to, once I got married, had babies, like to make that same amount of money, but not hustle that hard.
Which
So,
I think is
working 3 days
possible.
a week. Yeah. I mean, like working less than 20 hours a week, still be present and home, being mom, but still bring in money, you know?
Absolutely. So I've watched you quite a bit, and I'm sure there was even some growth pre-meeting me and pre-joining Soul Tribe. What do you feel like are those like really big? I think we all have these like benchmarks or these moments in like our personal growth journey. I feel like I've watched you so much now. Physically, you've changed. Financially, you've changed. Mentally, you've changed. Like you are someone who really just continues to like push and strive, and I think it's super inspiring. So like thinking back, when did that process start for you? I know you said you had some like books written down that you can think like, what was that journey like when you were really like, okay, I'm gonna get super serious about this, and what did that like look like for you?
Honestly, I think it was probably the pandemic. I mean, a lot of bad stuff obviously came from the pandemic, but I also think that a lot of really good stuff came from the pandemic. In my area, at least, the government was super generous with us and kind of set us up. And if I didn't have that set up, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to kind of be where I'm at now, you know? It taught me, like, not that they just handed out money. I mean, well,
I
they
mean,
kind of
they did. I mean, we're all
they did,
paying for
but
that
like
now, but yeah, it happened to all of us.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I had to hit, like, okay, gosh, I was freaking out because, you're going home, you don't know how long you're going to be shut down for. And then, like, it made me set up structures in my business and to strive for different things so that if this were to ever happen again, that you'll be fine, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that stand out to me about you, how did the saving for rent, I know you said it was pandemic, but like, how did you decide to start doing that? So Carissa pays for her year of booth rent or studio rent 1 year in advance. She keeps track of numbers to continue to save. Like, I know you said you almost have the next year in savings. Like, let's start breaking down like the so if people are listening to this and they want to start taking tips from you because this and the concept of it all sounds amazing. Like, how did you start paying attention to these numbers and from the pandemic, rent being one example of it, but growing your numbers in the way that you have? Like, how did you start paying attention to that? And what are some like tangible tips that you would give people?
I mean, the biggest thing would probably be taking, either reading Profit First or taking the Beauty Profit Lab
Profit
from
Lab.
by
We have to
Lucia.
have Lucia on the podcast for sure because yeah, that and we'll put any resources in the show notes of this. And so you took that what? Probably 2021 as well?
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, because I had, enough money now to like kind of divvy up and everything. So basically every week I get, whatever the studio brings in, I punt that to one account that only takes care of income. And then from there I divvy up into all these other different counts, be it salary, tax, everything.
And
And
for someone who has never even heard of Profit First, I guess just take one step back and even kind of explain that thought process,
so
because obviously I know what you're
basically,
talking about.
yeah. So basically, what I did was I took 6 months of my expenses in the salon, averaged out what type of expense they were. And instead of like having a budget and like putting all of it, like into a budget in a, like an Excel sheet and all that crap, I did not want to do any of that.
Yeah.
I took averages of, like what kind of spending I did in different specific areas. And that average is what I punt over every single week into these specific accounts, so
Yes.
that I don't have to like nickel and dime or whatever. Like, I just want to know a basic gist, and then you just continue to do that, and then those accounts grow. So
Yeah.
then, I have a rent account, I have an education account, and all the things. So that has really, really changed how I've done things. And then just, like keeping track every single week and figuring out, like, was this a good week? Was this a bad week? Why, why did it do? Why was it good? Why was it bad? All the things.
So, but obviously, I like I said, you just did a masterclass too. So obviously, the people listening to the podcast don't know those numbers. So I would love to for you to share some of the numbers that you have found are really important. But before we even go there, let's go back a step further. Before you saw this growth, whatever year you feel like it kind of took off at, were you tracking anything? Like, what was your behavior pre Profit Lab, any of these things? Like, were you tracking anything? Were you kind of scraping by? What was really like the shift? Because that's what I really want to be able to like capture and help people recreate.
Sure. I mean, I have always been a good tracker. Like, it's always been like, okay, well, if I can bring in 500 this day, then after 6 days, I'll have this. After 1 week, after 1 month, after the year, I'll do this. I've always had goals in the grand scheme of things, and I've always broken them down into micro levels. However, I feel
Sorry, you
like
cut out real quick there. You've always had goals and you've always broke them down into what?
into like micro
Okay,
goals.
love.
So, like, if I want to make a certain amount of money, then how much do I need to do monthly, weekly, daily, hourly? All that. Yeah. And I think that the sheets that I would use to track have, had an evolution. I would get like a small little date book, and I would put, services, tips, total. And then it kind of just kind of kept on getting bigger, where it's, it's everything. It's new guest requests. It's, like how much am I saving? How much am I punting to my sales tax? Just really being on top and aware of the numbers coming in and out of your business so that you can do stuff, so that you have money to like pay for a $3,000 retreat, or to pay for in advance a year-long education for a mastermind. Like, you have that money ready to go, or to pay for rent, or almost 2 years of rent at once, and not have to worry about that. And so you can worry about other things in your business and do other things in your business to move the needle forward.
So I always try to put my self in the brain of whose like ear we're in right now. So they're like, okay, yes, I'm excited about this. I want to be able to pay for retreats. I want to pay for masterminds. I want to be able to do this. What would you say are like the first steps if someone kind of is tracking but kind of isn't? The year count rolls around, they haven't done their bookkeeping, like they're kind of paying attention. What would you say is like if they were to start today, a micro difference, like what numbers would you say they should start paying attention to? How often should they track them, and what should that look like?
Okay, it may not be a short answer, but well, the
We got
short
this is a
answer would
podcast,
be
so tell us.
I mean, like, if I were beginning to start this journey, I would for 100% start saving like 30% at minimum. I would read the book Profit First or join Stylist Soul Tribe and be able to watch the masterclass from
For sure.
Lucia and basically figure out the last 6 months of your spending in your business and break them down into categories. Use different highlighters to decide which kind of category it goes into. If it's like a profitable spending, if it's like a bullshit spending, what moves the needle forward? Categorize those, take the average of what you spend per month, and then punt those into different checking accounts. Always buy or always get checking accounts, because that way you can, have auto drafts set out to, I don't know, checking accounts just feel right. I'm an S corp myself, and so the way that my payroll comes to be, because I have to give myself a salary, I write checks from one financial institution to another financial institution, so it's separate, and so I have, a paycheck coming, a literal paycheck coming from.
Love it.
A business
and then
account.
I'll throw in my perspective as well, because I do something similar, because we've both taken a similar class. So again, those of you that don't know what we're talking about, profit first. The theory behind it is you have, rather than one checking and one savings and then budgeting, you decide, let me study the behavior that I've done in the past and let me pre-plan budget, but not really budget. Let me see how much my behaviors are already showing me, and let me fill those accounts. But then, like Chris has said, sometimes there's overflow. And when you have these little micro accounts that you're punting money to every single week or every single month, they do start to grow. And I know Mike Michalowicz or whatever, he talks about the analogy of like the toothpaste, and like you will squeeze out the last bit of toothpaste. And there is something psychological with having multiple smaller accounts that like you make it work. Like I go to SalonCentric and I'm like, well, there's only, $170 in that account, and I keep it low on purpose. I'm not going to just throw and shit for no reason. It like changes your behavior with spending. And then in the grand scheme of things, if you were to combine all of these accounts that you've now been like squirreling these acorns away, you have way more money. I've just learned, if you have behaviors like I think a lot of hairstylists have, more creative minds, less analytical, for some containing or like whatever icky feeling a budget gets us, we're like, no, we don't want to do that. It gives like a freedom to it. I don't know why, because it's like I'd rather have, like, I don't know, it feels like the opposite of, here's the money, here's how I watch it dwindle away. Rather, here's all my money, here's where I put it, and I watch it grow, kind of thought. Do you agree?
Oh yeah, totally.
It's kind of hard to put it into words, but that's how I would explain it. And I'm the same as you. In my bank account personally, I have 7 checking accounts and 2 savings. So you can do checkings, you can do savings. My 2 savings are tax and profit, but I'm the same. I don't write a physical check, but I do a like bill pay bank transfer, and my business accounts are at an entire different institution, which Profit First and all of that recommends. And that is very helpful too. So I know for some people listening to this, you may say, whoa, I don't even have one business account, let alone 9. Like, I know this is kind of extreme, but I would say, if you are in that point, let's start with the very, very, very least being you setting up a different checking account and a different savings account at an entirely different bank. So that the online bankings cannot just easily transfer. We have to either write a check or we have to wait a few days for the money to move into your personal account. I think that's been super huge for me as well.
Yeah, 100%. And also too, I forgot to mention this. I have Square Savings, because I use Square for my processing. And so Square Savings has been huge too, because that only does percentages. You can't do dollar amounts. So like for the Profit First stuff I do, it's a dollar amount. Same dollar amount every week, unless I do a crappier week.
Yeah.
But Square Savings does a percentage of each individual batch, and it saves it and it punts it somewhere where you don't see it. So like, I don't even know how much I have in there, but it's, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, plus then all the stuff that I'm saving in my like personal, my business accounts.
Yeah.
But that one.
So Square Savings is a percentage, and what account is that punting to?
They just have their
in
own.
Yours.
Yeah,
but like, how do you identify it? Is that your education fund? Is that your profit fund? Is that your BS fund? Like, what fund is that for you personally?
So I am starting the journey of hiring an assistant. So I have a fund that I'm just making sure that I can afford it, which I think I can.
We have decided she definitely can, but it's a scary move. And so we'll have you back on 3 years from now, Carissa, once you're like rocking with multiple assistants and you've perfected this. But yeah, you're someone who like, I want to know that I can pay for this assistant for like 6 months before she even comes, So you're now the Square Savings that you're doing. That's the assistant fund for now, who she doesn't exist yet, but it feels better hiring someone knowing this money is sitting somewhere and it's not getting pulled from elsewhere. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have that account. I have a savings account that like I'll potentially give myself a bonus with being an S corp. And then I have my rent. So I have, I think, pretty much all my rent paid for next year,
Incredible.
Just sitting in that account, and I accrue interest on it and whatnot. I may move it somewhere else that'll accrue more interest at some point, but just to know I have that ready to go is nice.
And I think I've asked you this before on Marco Polo, probably years ago. What did your owner, your landlord, or whatever think when you said, "Can I pay my rent a year in advance?" Like, was
Well,
he totally cool with it? Like, did that take some finagling? Because I feel like a lot of people are like, I'd rather just sit in this account and then I know it's covered. But
right.
also, what if then something comes up and you pull from it? Like, how did you decide to do that?
Well, I had this money and I thought I might as well get this off the table, like, so
And take
I
away a
don't have
bill
to pay.
forever, huh?
Yeah. And so, and then I asked for advice in my stylist Soul Tribe. And I remember some people were like, I wouldn't do it. What if you want to move or whatever? And I was like, no, I just need to freaking do it. So I asked him and he took a while to get back, which surprised the heck out of me because I was like, dude, we're pretty cool. Like, what's going on? And I had no idea. In the background, he was selling the business. So he had to get permission from the new landlord that that was okay and whatever, whatever. So fast forward. The new landlord lets me do that as well. He gives a little bit of a break on it, which is great. But yeah, I mean, I think that they know that there's longevity and that, I'm not going to go anywhere and that, well, the rent's paid on time.
But then I mean, obviously, I just can't help but think, and then their shoes and like how that continues on is they obviously have to like properly budget or annualize that income because having monthly recurring income is nice for, somebody in that position as well. So that's just interesting. Again, you're so freaking inspiring. I think where you're at, and I don't know if this is like weird for you to like talk about or hear people just like gas you up about, but like where you're at financially, where you're not at just at a point where like, everything is covered, bills are covered, we have the emergency fund, but you're almost like doing the opposite of debt. You're like prepaying so that it's not even like you don't have payments. You're like taking care of bills in advance, which is a wild way of thinking. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. And I kind of almost kind of agree with the Soul Tribe that like, does that lock you in for too long? Would you rather be like cushioning your own accounts for another reason? I just think the way your brain works is fascinating. I think it's so impressive that you've been able to do that. And so I'm assuming your plan is to continue to do that. You have no regrets that you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, I like having the extra cash flow in
Each
the
month.
salon and then not having to just worry about that monthly
Yeah.
bill.
And you know what? You sign a year lease anyway. You know you're not going to leave until the year lease is up anyway. So yeah, that is a really good point. I love that. Okay, cool. So like I said, it's been so cool just being a friend of yours, being a mentor of yours, watching you in Soul Tribe. You are someone that I feel like has changed so much since I've gotten to know you. So what else would you say has been like big on your journey of just personal growth, like in general? How else would you like vocalize it and put it all together? Because is there any other like major things for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had gastric bypass surgery a little over a year ago, which I haven't really told like everybody that
Do you feel
yet.
good sharing that? Because we don't have to share that on here if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm ready.
Okay, good.
It's
I
a weird
appreciate
thing.
that.
You never know how people are going to act or whatever.
Totally.
I mean, it's freaking hard, even though you have it done. Like it's hard. So having the physical stamina to be able to do more things and like to be more present as a mom and to just feel better in your body has been a huge, huge thing.
Would you mind me asking, like, what really pushed you to pursuing that? Where it, like,
Yeah. I
is
mean,
this
I've always wanted to. It's just, it
okay?
was never covered by insurance until more recently.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I, tried other things as well, obviously, but it truly is a metabolic and hormonal reset that they do. They literally bypass those things in your body that make it harder for you to lose the weight, or that hunger hormone is always present in, people that are heavier. So it's been, it was, there's no other way I would have been able to do it, really.
And do you think that I wonder that maybe not, I'm just going off on my own tangent right now. Do you think that almost went hand in hand with like the finances or no? Because it just, to me, from the outside looking in, watching your life, it just seemed like you were someone that just like took the reins and you were like, this is how I want to feel and I'm gonna do everything I need. Like, do you think that those coincided or did one come before the other? Or what are your thoughts around that?
Well, I mean, knowing that I've always wanted to do hair, like I knew since I was a kid, like a baby kid, but I didn't want to do it half-assed and I didn't want to work at a place that, couldn't feed my lifestyle. Like I like more bougier things. And I knew that I would have to be at a certain level to be able to do that.
And so even that, do you feel like you've always known that? Because I also think it's fascinating watching people's identity of like you own that, like you like the finer things in life. And there's something about people who own that who then tend to attract that and grab it. Like, have you always known that, or what is that as
Yeah,
well?
I mean, my mom, I remember my mom saying, she's like, well, an occupational therapist would make good money and da 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 da. You know, and that's kind of why I went into that, which I do like that field. But, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm not going to go into this, you know, industry to make like crap money. Like, I want to be able to support a family and like create a world with it, you know? So, like, I've always had goals. I've always been driven in that sense. But it wasn't obviously until I had children that I was like, well, let's see if we can just work part time, work under 20 hours a week and still bring in all the money, you know, and still provide for my family. But like when you have your own business, like you can decide these things. You can decide that you're not going to be working at night and on the weekends, all these things, because you need to figure out what's important to you. And doing that was important to me. And it also helped too, just for planning wise, like because I had my kids back to back years, they're 14 months apart. So I had a maternity leave in 2018. I had a maternity leave in 2019. And then 6 months after my maternity leave, the world shut down with COVID. So like I had 3 consecutive years of like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks off. So I, you know, you expect loss clientele wise there. And so like there was no other way to like go but build up. Not that I was like super down. I mean, I was, you know, I'm looking at my numbers right now. You know, I was in a bit, but I have this past year, I've tried to do 15% growth every single year, which I have been doing. But my biggest year, when I was working all of the freelance hair and makeup photo shoots and all the things and working at the salon, I am above that by 5,000 this past
Which
year.
is huge.
So, and that's, you know, without, you know,
I
working
mean,
all.
working a fraction of the amount. I love that. Okay, so now you're starting to think assistant. I know we've obviously talked during the Soul Tribe calls and stuff like that. So that's probably the next journey for you. And that's feeling, I know, a little uncomfy, a little scary, but you think that's probably what's next for your business.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool after the mastermind call yesterday. It was nice to have like, you know, some people reached out and were kind of confirming, which must suck as a coach when you like say, yes, you should do this. And then people are like, no, I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. And then everybody else is like, yes. And you're like,
No, that
I
doesn't
told
suck
you.
as a coach. If anything, Krista, I haven't had an assistant. So it makes me even feel even better as a coach watching all these salon owners and these stylists who have had assistants reaffirm, because I don't want to just be out here blindly coaching either. So no, that's why I think masterminds are so powerful, because I don't think one person has the answer, but everybody was like pouring into Krista yesterday, hearing how freaking organized she is with her finances. And they were like, girlfriend, I have had like 10 assistants and I am doing nothing along the lines of the organization that you're doing. Like, you are good.
Yeah, it was great. Like it felt very reassuring and whatnot. So I think that will be the goal for the I know that will be the goal for this year, you
Cool.
know.
I'm excited to listen back on this podcast episode when this was just like a baby idea in your head and watch how much that has grown. Okay, when we were going over our talking points, you said you wrote down like a few books. Is there anything else that like we haven't covered yet that you feel like would be of value that you want to dive into?
I mean, no, I just, you know, like have goals in your brain as to what you want to do and just break them down micro and just have a lot of accounts that you punt money to all the time. And, you know, like just get out of your own way. Don't spend your clients' money for them. You can spend your, I mean, you know, let them spend money if they want to. Like the people that are going to spend money are, you know, not going to be the ones you think potentially. And, you know, don't obviously sell them, but just, you know, take care of your people.
And in the same token, Krista, you have to go through it to understand it. But I vividly remember like you being like, oh my God, my next client's coming in. I have to tell her about my price increase. I'm so scared. But like you have to just like feel the fear and push through it in order to see. And I during yesterday's masterclass, we had a couple people ask, like, okay, because Krista shared actual numbers. They were like, okay, you've seen all this massive growth. Was that niching down? Like, was it an extension certification? Was it, you know, price increases? What was it? And you were like, it really wasn't that cut. They were like, was it retail? She's like, I don't sell a ton of retail. It was just really, I think, strategically planning, like deciding, these are the numbers I want to do. Let me break this down so I fully understand, and paying attention to the numbers rather than just, oh, this person comes in. Sometimes I charge her this much. Sometimes I charge her this much. Like thinking ahead, being really crystal clear, and watching your goals week after week just get checked, right? Along
And
with price
just,
increases.
yeah. And like, I mean, being the biggest thing that I want to do is I want to be the place where I would want to go to as a client. So your perceived value, your experience while you're here, like I have a lot of moms that I do and, just busy professionals, like they want a freaking escape. So that I want that space to be here for them, so like I give them more bougie or shampoo with like all the extra stuff, like I have a hand massager, I have warm towels and steamed aromatherapy towels and blankets for them to put on them when they're getting shampooed to like cozy up and, just like all these things. So be the place that you want to go to and you'll, get have a great, business.
Can I also acknowledge, I think you're someone also who is very like routine oriented. Like you have a morning routine, you stick with it. And I think when you are so not just kind of like all over the place, a different version of yourself every day, like you're able to show up in that way very consistently for your people. So do you maybe want to touch like a little bit on routines too?
Yeah, for sure. I wake up at 4:44.
I love that. Do you set an alarm for 4:44?
Yeah.
I
I
love
mean,
that.
yeah, 3:33 is way too early and 5:55 is way too late. So
Okay.
4:44 is perfect. And unfortunately, I would go and go on a nice walk, but and it was awesome because like you can't help anybody. You just need to go
Yeah.
and like everybody at home has to fend for themselves, which is nice as a mom to like get the heck out of Dodge for a minute. But my daughter's bus schedule has kind of messed with that. So I'll get into that once school is done again.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
just easier. But yeah, so 4:44. And then I just have a nice morning routine of, like getting ready. I write down in a gratitude journal every day. And it's not, doesn't have to be like, I am so grateful that blah, 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 blah. Like I just cut all the crap out and I just write 1 through 5 or 1 through 10 every single
Love.
day. And once a
Love.
week, I do 14 gratefuls.
Okay.
And then
Wait, why? Wait. Why do you do 14 once a week?
okay, because on
That's
the
too specific to just brush over right now. I need to know the details.
okay, so on my notebook that I have,
Okay.
it's a very specific, like tactile, like I don't know, I think it's from Walmart.
Okay.
And it fits 14 gratefuls and then 10, 10, and 10. So 1 week fits on a page.
Oh,
So
okay.
one of the days has to be 14.
Okay. It's not
And yeah,
as
it's not
cool
as
as I was expecting. It's okay. It
not
just works for the page. We are
at
not mad at the extra four gratitudes every once in a while. Okay. So great gratitude journal. I mean, 4:44. Anything else major that is in Carissa's like has to happen routine?
I mean, on Mondays, I listen to Britt Seava's podcast. On Wednesday, I listen to your podcast. And then I
Love
try to
it.
find other podcasts that I like. The other days, it's, usually harder.
What's your podcast flow? Is it when you're cleaning, when you're walking, when you're driving? How do you decide like
It's
when are
when I'm
you
getting
doing it?
ready is when
Okay.
I watch or
Love
listen.
it.
Yeah, watch and
Yeah.
listen, whatever.
Love it.
Yeah.
So just kind of consistently staying inspired, setting goals, pushing, and paying attention
Yeah, I
and
mean, I
being
kind
kind.
of like a lot of my friends are like, okay, your hands are in too many pots and everything, but I want to be constantly evolving. I want to have the space change. A lot of my clients say like, oh, you've changed something, you've done this, and I'm like, well, yeah, like you want to keep them guessing.
What's
And
your Enneagram?
I don't know.
You don't know? I
I
wonder
mean,
if you
I
are a
forget.
seven. I'm a seven, and seven is like the optimist, the enthusiast, whatever, but I could go on a whole Enneagram tangent. Maybe that should be another podcast episode. But there is this band called Sleeping At Last that has done a song for every single Enneagram number, and it's like wild. They do a podcast episode about it. It's a whole deep dive. I'll have to do my own podcast on that eventually. But there's a quote in the song Seven from Sleeping At Last, and it says, "I feel like I'm sinking when I'm standing in one space." And like that lands so well with me. And that's what I'm hearing you say. Like, we don't stop. Like, you don't stop moving, you don't stop grooving, or else it feels like you're sinking.
Yeah, I
So I
mean,
don't
and
know
to
if that
the
rings true
detriment
to
of that, like I always change product lines
you.
like probably once a year. I haven't as much lately the last couple of years, but I just get bored with them. And I feel like if you're not constantly out there looking and seeing what the heck is new for your clients and what can better their hair and their situation, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it makes me look like a floozy or whatever, but like,
I mean, your business is going well. I'm assuming your clients probably love that.
yeah, I hope
They
so.
don't need to get a wandering eye because they know you have it taken care of. So, like, when the next exciting thing is here, they know that you'll have it there for them.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Any final thoughts, Carissa? Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being vulnerable. I know, especially when it comes to things like finances and just like humbly speaking about yourself, I know it is like so awkward, but I just know how inspiring it is when people are brave enough to give people a peek behind the scenes, especially people who are doing really cool things. That is so inspiring for other people to just realize, oh, it is attainable. I can do it. And it just takes a few micro changes and a little bit of intentionality. So I'm so grateful for you to be brave enough to just like show the whole world what you kind of have going on and kind of pass that along for other people to take and run with. So thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome. All right. Thank you, friends, so much for listening. I will have Chris's Instagram and stuff in the show notes in case you guys want to get in touch with her. Anything else that I can think of that we went over today, I will make sure to include in the show notes, and I will talk to you all next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Stylist Soul Tribe Conversations. Before we wrap up, I've got some exciting news to share. My brand new course, Mindset to Magic, is finally here. This isn't just any course, it's a proven roadmap for transformation, combining personal development with explosive business growth. Through the 7 transformative pillars, from embracing an abundance mindset to unlocking big magic in your life, we'll journey together towards your wildest dreams. If you've been enjoying this podcast, you are going to love this course. Click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to welcome you into Mindset to Magic.